awesome music is by Kevin MacLeod, and it's called Parisian, which is absolutely perfect for this episode.
Thank you so much for coming around and giving Random Ventures of an Indie Traveler a listen. I'm your host, Casey, and here you can tune into my own awesome adventures from different interesting areas around the States and other countries as well. Some of these in which you'll know, and others will most likely be entirely new to you. I'll also sometimes chat about fun facts, history, culture, and bizarre mythical creatures around these areas. So today's mythological creature is the Beast of Gévaudan. Wow, this beast is known for brutally attacking many people in a four-year period in the 1700s. And then, in the end, it was hunted down. But from 1764 to 1767, in south central France, in the former province of Gévaudan, consisting of modern-day Département of Lozère and part of the Haute-Loire in the Margerie Mountains. I don't know if that was right with the pronunciation, but hopefully it was close. Anyways, the beast with massive tails had reportedly brutally attacked its poor victims. Whatever this creature was had partially eaten its prize, usually, at least in many cases, and the victim count is unknown exactly. Different sources say different things, so there are arguments, and some say there are over 500 deaths due to this creature. Others say there were between 60 and maybe 100. Either way, most that had been attacked by the Beast of Gévaudan had paid with their lives. A crazy fact is that these reports are absolutely real and recorded in history. Because a lot of these attacks unraveled in a pretty short time span, people had a feeling there was more than one culprit here. King Louis XV had heard enough and said this must end. Therefore, he sent his master hunters to take care of it once and for all. In 1765, Francois Antoine got a large wolf that was 5 feet 7 inches in height and went after the rest of the family, as this wolf had many scars that were apparently from his victims. Though attacks still continued in the following years, the chase was not quite over yet. In 1767, once Jean Chastel shot it down, the last one around the slopes of Mont Mouchet, now it's no more commonly known as Son d'Auvoir. Again, I'm so sorry if the pronunciation is not so great. The brutal attacks came to an end as this happened. Was there really a beast, or were there beasts of Gévaudan? It's said that at this time, where there could have been hysteria to blame, and maybe it was just a pack of wolves that had gone rogue. Either way, it's pretty interesting. I don't know. What do you think? All right, and today we are going to talk about the Eiffel Tower. Yeah, what an interesting place. So my mom and I took a very special trip to Europe to celebrate my college graduation. This was a big deal, as I originally had no intention on going to college in the first place. When my mom and I first got to where the Eiffel Tower was, or is, to me, it was such a surreal feeling. I mean, you hear about this incredible monument all the time, but to be there directly in person right in front of it, there's such an amazing feeling to it. I mean, you might possibly get this awesome tingly feeling, just like, oh my gosh, I'm actually here. What is this? I know I was like doing a happy dance inside because just how incredible. I was absolutely awestruck. It was like, wow, there it is. You feel so tiny compared to it. And once you get there, you may be overcome with a sense of wonderment. There's this cute little merry-go-round right near the Eiffel Tower. And that was actually one of my favorite things about it. It just adds more to the feeling of wow. And it could definitely bring out the inner child in you. So a fun random fact from Justin, thank you so much, Justin, is apparently you can't take pictures at night of the Eiffel Tower because the lighting is copyrighted. Wow, who would have thought that lighting could be copyright? Apparently it is for the Eiffel Tower, so be careful if you're taking pictures. Some other really fun facts that I found are Gustave Eiffel had rejected the original design, and there is some extra work done by the architectural department. As they had finished some extra sketches, it was finally approved, though many people, such as artists, did not think so highly of this idea. From the get-go, its height was a whopping 985 feet tall. Wow, so crazy. And actually, from the time it was built through 1930, it was the tallest structure in the entire world. until New York's Chrysler Building and the Empire State Building had beaten that record. You may not know this extra little tidbit. The Eiffel Tower actually can shrink in cold weather by 6 inches. Now, I find that to be quite interesting. I mean, it's metal, isn't it? Or something similar to that. I mean, how can metal shrink? But I guess, you know, due to the cold, we all get a bit chilly. And I know for me, sometimes it's a little hard to stand tall and proud when it's really cold outside. I might shrink a little bit. But yeah, just something kind of interesting about the Eiffel Tower is it can shrink when it's very cold. And it was originally built to be the entrance arch for the famous World Fair, which would mark a century since the French Revolution had taken place. The World Fair in 1889 was truly a phenomenon. It brought in about 2 million people, and everyone was so excited to see the Eiffel Tower. It wasn't meant to stay as the landmark that it is today. It wasn't supposed to exist past 1909. But interestingly enough, it became home for a wireless telegraph antenna during the First World War, and it ended up intercepting messages from Germany and jamming German communications. Wow, who would have thought? Since 1899, it receives a fresh coat of paint within every 7-year period. It's pretty cool. I mean, you know, my car, I've had it for about 10 years, but yeah, my car is definitely peeling. I think 7 years would be a nice time to paint that thing up and give it a nice fresh look. So the Eiffel Tower gets that every 7 years. And if you've seen it up close in person, you might have actually noticed that there are some different colorations in it. Kind of crazy. I actually didn't know this at the time, so I didn't get a clear look at it. And next time I go, I'm definitely going to give it a look and have an eyeful, no pun intended, or maybe there is actually, but I'll get an eyeful of the different colorations and I will definitely have a look next time. Anyways, the Eiffel Tower's official site says the original color was Venetian red, and then next up was reddish brown, turning rusty brown. Now it's painted yellow orange from the very bottom and ending at the very top with more of a pale yellow color. I always just know it to be brown. What about you? The Eiffel Tower is hand-painted, so it's not a fast feat at all. It typically takes around 18 months to paint the Eiffel Tower. So if you ever go and you see it being painted, you'll know why. It's that 7-year mark. The Eiffel Tower is pretty cool. You can see that there are 3 various levels and 3 magnificent sights of wondrous Paris. So from the very top, of course, you can get such an incredible view. And sadly enough, when my mom and I were there, we did not actually go into the tower. We merely saw it from its wondrous view right in front of it. And I don't know why we didn't go in. Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe something happened or it could have been closed or something, but I didn't really see people going in and out. Maybe we just didn't really know about it at the time. But now that I know about it, I'm definitely going to go back and I will go to the top of the tower. I don't care. I'm going to do it. Then that could be another episode. So part 2 will be coming at you at some point in the future.
And then at that point, I can share with you about the coloration and the view from the different levels.
There are definitely some strange occurrences at the Eiffel Tower. So those start with Erica Latour Eiffel. She got this name not by mere coincidence, ladies and gentlemen, but by marrying the Eiffel Tower. Okay, so first of all, how on earth does this happen? How can you marry an object like the Eiffel Tower? I mean, does it actually say I do? Or what's the deal there? And who was its best man? I mean, I just really want to know, how does this work, right? I mean, just such an interesting fact, but yeah. So a lady married the Eiffel Tower. And there is actually a documentary on it, so I've never seen it, but you might want to check it out. Anyways, some people become attracted to objects like Ferris wheels, for instance. There is a woman that has married a Ferris wheel, believe it or not. And if you're not sure about this, then totally Google it and you'll see for yourself. So weird. Anyways, so the documentary I was talking about is called Married to the Eiffel Tower. And the woman goes on to share how the relationship came to an end when staff of the Eiffel Tower came between them and said she wasn't allowed to visit anymore. Quite the end to an interesting romance? Question mark? I mean, I just wonder what happened to where she was actually forcibly removed from the tower, saying you cannot come back again. What was happening? Maybe a little bit of fun time? I mean, who knows how often she went to see the Eiffel Tower.
But anyways, it's just kind of interesting. Maybe she was trying to make little mini Eiffel Towers. I mean, you've seen those little Eiffel Tower keychains, right? I have one myself. So that's kind of interesting to think about. How did those come to be? Gives one some interesting thoughts, doesn't it?
So moving on, also in the late 1940s, circuses were dying out. In an attempt to bring interest back, they brought the world's oldest elephant at the time, and she was 85 years old. They brought her up the stairs to the first tier of the Eiffel Tower. She was lovely, as scary as it must have been for her, and she didn't show any rage, no accidents occurred, nothing. Luckily enough, I mean, you never know. With animals, anything could happen. So, the next story, I have something to share with you. The idea of the parachute came about from the extraordinary Leonardo da Vinci. However, a poor inventor, Reuchel, would put some form of it to the test and not come out on the other side
unscathed and breathing. So,
he spent many years developing a coat for aviators that would convert into a parachute when necessary. Now, I think this is an incredible idea. Had he maybe worked a bit more and had it actually worked successfully. He finally came up with what he believed was a workable prototype and tested it by jumping off the Eiffel Tower. The parachute failed to open and he fell to his death, unfortunately. Yikes. Definitely not a way that you would want to go. There are some other really interesting things about the Eiffel Tower, but I think I will share those with you in episode 2. So tune in to that as soon as it comes out. I don't know when that's going to be because I actually need to go back to the Eiffel Tower for that part. So tune in and yeah, be ready for it. Have you been to the Eiffel Tower? Or do you have a great suggestion or an interesting place you'd love to share? I would love to hear from you. You can reach out to me at randomindietraveler@gmail.com. You can also find me on Instagram at randomindietraveler. Be sure to come back next weekend and tune in for another awesome adventure. You totally won't want to miss my next adventure at Wilder, Kentucky to visit Bobby Mackey's Music Worlds. Crazy stuff happens there, so you'll definitely get an earful then. Tune in and I will catch you in the next one.